Amen. Tonight I want to ask you to turn with us to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter number 24. And our reading will begin at verse number 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, rather the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, it is he that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did these great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the ways wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelled in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. Amen. Tonight, I want to talk to you from the subject, Patterns of Victory. Father, tonight we bless you and we thank you again for your goodness and your mercy. And we pray, God, Lord, that as your word goes forth, God, Lord, that it would speak and give direction and clarity. Lord, let it be a confirmation to those, Lord, that are pondering. Let them know, God, that everything we need is in your word. And we bless you and we thank you for it all right now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. On Sunday, we talked about all of the time that it took for the children of Israel to make the 11-day journey. And the reason why it took them so long was because they didn't have the right mindset. And how many know that when you don't have the right mindset, you can be in a place, but you don't move forward? It was an 11-day journey, and it took them 40 years. But the reason why they didn't make it was because they had some thinking errors. That's why there's got to be a renewing of your mind. And so Joshua was a man that believed from the very beginning that with God on his side, there was nothing that he could not conquer. And many times in this life, we are faced with all kinds of opposition. But the one thing we have to know, that if God is on our side, there's nothing that we cannot conquer. Look at your neighbor and say, get that in your mind. Get it in your heart. Get it in your spirit. Because the Lord didn't promise us a bed of roses, but he did promise us the victory. Amen. And so when we look at Joshua's resume, if you would allow me to put it that way, that there were 31 cities that stayed fortified with their own kings. He was 110 years old when he died. Now he led the people of God for 28 years, And it took 7 years. Now listen to this. It took 7 years to conquer the land. And do you know why it took 7 years to conquer the land? Because everybody wasn't on the same page. And so when we're not on the same page, there's always a delay. But it took 7 years to conquer the land. And then it took 7 years to settle and divide the land. You know, when God blesses you with something, you got to learn how to put things in order. You got to learn how to appreciate what he's giving you. You know, when God begins to bless, you know, he wants us to put things in decency and in order. And so, you know, you can't keep it if you don't get it organized. You know, it's like a person that runs a business, but they don't know what's coming in and they don't know what's going out. Well, after a while, more is going to be going out than what's coming in. And that's why you've got to always know what's coming in and what's coming out. That's why you've got to always do an inventory. Because it tells you, you know, if you're making a profit. How many know that God wants us to make a profit? Amen. The profit is the growth in God. So when we grow in God, it means that the things that used to shake us, they don't shake us anymore. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, you're not going to graduate. Amen. But the Bible lets us know that the more that evil prevails, it said, the more the grace of God abounds. And so it doesn't matter how evil the world gets. God's grace is there to equip you. That's why the scripture says, no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. And so it doesn't matter how much the devil tries to put on you. You've got to remember that you are a conqueror. Now, Joshua is one of the great leaders of the Jewish history. Now, the Old Testament historian said that the face of Moses was like the face of the sun, while the face of Joshua was like the face of the moon. Now, this is understood to mean that the greatness of Joshua was a reflection of his teacher, Moses, which is a tremendous compliment. See, Joshua learned how to be a follower first. And you see, if we want to be blessed by God, we've got to learn how to follow before we can lead. You know, so often the first thing we do, we say we got a calling. We want to tell those that have been laboring, you know what, I got this. You know, the Lord is talking to me. Well, who was he talking to before he started talking to you? You just now got on the scene and you think that you know everything? That's why the Bible says wait on your ministry. That's why the Bible talks about that it's not good for a novice to be a pastor. You know, you need a little experience in life and in the word. Because now there's a whole bunch of folks that are knowledgeable, got 12 degrees on the wall, but you know what? They don't have any wisdom. It takes wisdom to deal with this life successful. And wisdom can only come from God. Now, what does the Bible says? If any man lack what? Wisdom, said, let him ask of God. He didn't say Google it. That's just knowledge. If you want wisdom, you got to get that from God. And now, not only did he say get it from God, but he said let the age teach the younger. See, the problem today is can't nobody tell nobody nothing. Everybody is an authority on everything. But you know what? They just keep falling in the ditch, though. Somebody say, help me, Lord Jesus. So it also tells that the just as the sun is much greater than the moon, which only reflects sunlight, so too had Moses lived to enter the land. All the Jewish history and all human history had been different. Now, there are many thinking errors, but I want to deal with four of them tonight because I think it's important that we understand that our thinking can get us in trouble. Now, in counseling, they have, I believe, what they call stinky thinking. it's not right. It's not balanced. But now, the first thinking error that I want to talk about tonight is called justifying. Now, justifying, it means that a person is avoiding responsibility for their behavior. A person finds a reason for what they have done. Let me give you this example. He yelled at me, so I had to hit him. Now, you're not accepting, the responsibility for your actions. You're blaming it on somebody else. That's called justifying. And the first thing God says to us is that we've got to come clean. We've got to admit that I'm a sinner. And we said, I found the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, you didn't find him because he wasn't lost. You know what? He wasn't lost. You know what? But except God draw us, we don't come. And so whenever we justify, then there's no room for growth and development. When somebody points something out to you, you just say, all right, thank you. Learn how to accept constructive criticism. Learn how to say, well, let me give that some thought. Don't automatically try to, avoid the responsibility. As a leader, I get criticized all the time. But I've learned to get my feelings off my shoulders. Because it's not about, me as an individual. It's about my leadership. And God is saying the same thing to us. It's not about you personally, but it's about your behavior. Does it line up with the word of God? Does your life depict who you say you believe in? And so another thinking error is blaming. Now, in order to avoid acceptance of one's own fault, a person will find fault among another person and attempt to put the responsibility for their own behavior on others. Y'all know anybody like that? Don't
say nothing. Just kind of nod your head there.
Uh-huh. You never grow. I don't care what goes on. It's never your fault. You may want to check yourself out. Because the Bible lets us know that we're striving for perfection. And when it talks about striving that for perfection, it's talking about being mature. Growing up in God, growing up in life. Now, and so they find someone else or something else to be responsible. They blame others for what happened to them. Now, listen to the children of Israel. They said, everybody else is serving and worshiping other gods, so I might as well do it. How many times the church folks say, well, over at the other church, they're doing this and they're doing that. But you know what? You don't live there. And so why are you eating out of somebody else's house? And so Joshua was trying to tell them, as my subject is tonight, that you've got to have a pattern of victory. That regardless to what's going on, that that you were victorious. See, when you were born again, you were born with the victory. Now what you've got to learn how to do is walk in what you already have. But oftentimes we walk around defeated, disgusted and thinking that, I'm not going to be able to make it. Well, if you keep telling yourself that, guess what? You're not going to be able to make it. Now, the third thinking error is excuse making. You know anybody that's always making excuses?
Somebody say, help me, Lord Jesus. See, a person will avoid being accountable for one's actions by blaming the situation or the thing by blaming the situation or the thing for their own behavior. I could not serve God because there were too many hypocrites in the church. Now can I give you a news flash? You know what? When you got saved, there were some hypocrites. While you've been in the church, there's still some hypocrites. And if the good Lord call you home, guess what? The hypocrites are going to still be in the church. You see, because you're not living for the hypocrites. You're supposed to be living for him. And so if you got your eyes on him, Paul says, follow me even as I follow Christ. And so you can't get your eyes on the people because there are so many bad examples out there. But Jesus is our perfect example. And so if we look to him, then you know what? We can walk in victory. And now the fourth one, and then I got to move on, is thinking error is, you know what we have a tendency to do? We have a tendency to hop over things. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You say, well, how come you didn't make up your bed? What's for dinner? You know how you do it, changing the subject. So in order to avoid taking responsibility, a person will avoid the issue. That they will shift the focus from oneself to someone or change the topic of conversation to something else. You're not dealing with the real issue. And you know, we can't grow and we can't live the quality life that Jesus said, that he said that I am come that you may have life and you may have it more abundantly. But the first thing we have to do is take responsibility for our behavior. Take responsibility for our actions. Well, the pastor didn't teach on it. You're supposed to study the word yourself. You're supposed to pray yourself. When you come to church, it ought to just be a confirmation what God has been telling you already. You know, you may have read something and didn't quite understand it. Well, God will put that on the menu. You know, and he'll allow the preacher to break it down and you'll say, oh, you know, I was wondering what that meant. Well, but see now, you got to get in the word for yourself. You know what? You know, you want the pastor to mix it up? You know, you want him to bake it? You know what? You want him to slice it? All you want to do is come to the table and eat and then complain that it wasn't a good meal. So you know what? You got to dig into this word for yourself. Amen. Now you know, we've got to understand that sometimes things in our life seem disagreeable. And without a sense or a plan, you know, it looks like our life is falling apart. But you know what? If we wait a while, you know what? We shall see that each trial, each striking of a stone upon the quiet waters, a man will bring our lives closer and nearer to God. Every trial that you're going through is designed to bring you closer to God. You know, now does it feel good to your flesh? No. But you know what happens when you're in the fire? You know what it does? It pushes out those things that are unpure. You know what? Because when your heart is pure before God, guess what? That's when the blessings come. Amen. And so the definition of commitment here is extremely simple. It's called daily obedience. You know, in order to have a pattern of victory, you got to do the same thing every day. You know, I cooked some chicken and dumplings last week, and they came out all right. But, you know, I used a different recipe. I didn't use my own recipe. Sister Durham called it pot pie. But you know if you stick to the recipe, it always comes out the same. And you know, that's what God is trying to tell us. You know what? You say, well, preacher, what is the recipe? It's the B-I-B-L-E. If you stick to the word of God, if you do it God's way, you're going to always come out on the top. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, you may not have, every day you may not wake up smiling. But if you stay with God for the day's over, amen, you're going to be smiling. God, because all you got to do is like David said, when I think of the goodness of God and all he's done for me, you can't help but to get happy. Amen. And so it's the daily commitment. You see, we see it over and over. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, it is just as simple to define a lack of commitment or uncommitment. Now you know it's not rocket science. You don't have to have a degree. All you got to do is learn how to obey. And so when we learn daily disobedience, if you do not carefully follow all the words of this law, which are written in this book, and do not reverence their glorious and awesome name of the Lord, the decision of the believer makes is to live out of his commitment to God as daily obedience or not to do so. And so God is saying that it's up to you. Every day when you wake up, that's a blessing all by itself. But every day when you make up, you got to make a choice and a decision. Am I going to serve the Lord? Am I going to walk in total obedience? God, that's my will. That's my desire. And God, if there's a snare, keep me, Lord. You know what? Because my blessing is locked up in my obedience. So starting out wrong by not acknowledging God. You know what? If you don't acknowledge God, the psalmist said, or not the psalmist, but Solomon says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he will do what? He will direct your path. And so, you know, if you really want to be blessed, you got to start out by acknowledging God. You see, the danger of not acknowledging God in the so-called simple and small things, only a people who are separated to God from every compelling influence can live out the commitment that the covenant life requires. See, you know what? You can't live for God if you're not sold out. There's too many distractions. You know what? You know, if it's not money, I had to attend an ethics class today. And part of my training in the ethics teacher kept saying, he says, sex is the number one killer. He said sex is the number one evil. He said more people lose their license because of sex. They're sleeping with sex offenders. They're sleeping with their clients. You know, they're sleeping with children. Never in the history of mankind have I seen so much evil. You know, the principal of a school, you know, is taking advantage of the students. You know, and then not only the principal, but the teachers. You know, you used to have to worry about the men, but now it's the women and the men. You know, it's because it's the time that we live in when people are not committed to God. Guess what? You are open and subject to do anything. You know, and you may pop off and say, you know, I would never do that. Well, if God is not in the forefront of your commitment, you don't know what you will find yourself doing. You look up and you'll be saying, I can't believe I did that. But see, this old nature, there is nothing good in it. You know, I don't care how much perfume and cologne you put on. I don't care how much you spend on your hair and your nails and your fine rag. Guess what? At the end of the day, the only thing that's going to make you clean is the blood of Jesus. And the only thing that's going to help you to stay, amen, in covenant agreement with God is that you got to have a prayer life. You know what? You got to talk to God. You got to get in his word. David said, Lord, let me hide your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. And then in Luke 18:1, Jesus said that men ought to always pray rather than faint. If you want victory tonight, that's got to be a winning combination. But because if you pray and you stay in the word, guess what? It's not hard to obey God. Now, you know what? You can't be running with dogs and don't think that you're not going to get fleas. If you want victory, you know what? You got to run with the people, amen, that are victorious. If you want a clean life, you can't be hanging out, on the corner with those folks that don't mean no good. Because of idle mind, you're setting yourself up for trouble. Amen. And so if you want real victory, then you got to stay connected to God. Now, the Gideonites, you know what? They were deceptive in Joshua chapter 9. Now, people of one city in Palestine, Central Highline, resorted to trickery. How many know that the devil, you know what? He'll tell you, it's okay. God understands. What does God understand? He said, now unto him that's able to keep you and to present you faultless. But see, they got in trouble, you know what? Because the thinking, they were thinking wrong. And when you think wrong, you're setting yourself up for the devil's trickery. And so, sure, they were doomed otherwise. They sent representatives to Joshua with worn clothes and dry molded food, pretending they had come from a great distance. They begged for a treaty. Now, see, here these people are, they were evil. You know what? But they knew that the anointing of God was on the children of Israel. And they said, well, you know what? If we make a treaty with them, because they are people of integrity, if we make a treaty with them, then they can't destroy us. And so Joshua was feeling good. See, you know what? When you're really feeling good and everything is going your way, guess what? You really better watch it. And you just hopping and skipping. Oh, the Lord is good. It's just a wonderful day. Satan just slide right on in. You feeling so good that you forgot to acknowledge the Lord. When you know what? When people come in your life, you know, don't get too excited too quick. You need to inquire of the Lord. Because you know everybody wants to be on the winning team, but the Bible says that light and darkness cannot be together. They just don't mix. You talking about hallelujah and this other fellow talking about ain't no God. You got chaos already. But you know what? Joshua, you know, he got beside himself. You know, now he had prayed about everything else, but things was going good. And so he felt like, well, you know, okay. And so now the devil will write you an attractive contract. You better not have a voice that can hit a few notes off the scale. Church folks ain't gonna give you much money, but the world will. You know, if you're doing it because you love God, you know what? What those stains your church folks won't give you, the Lord will make it up. I remember one year many years ago that there was a church. I think it was in Mesquite, and I was working graveyard shift. And that was back when they was having church for real, you know. It was a five-day revival, Monday through Friday. You talking about that today, folks look at you like, man, you must be out your mind. Don't you know I got to work? Don't you know I got to go to the gym? Don't you know I need some me time? Ain't said nothing about the Lord's time. But you know, I preached all week long. You know, and I didn't go for the money. It was a new ministry, and I was just trying to help him out. You know, and I said, he asked me if I would do it. I said, I'll be glad to help you out. And preached my little heart out of every night. And at the end of the week, he said, you know, we don't have much to give you. And I said, well, I didn't come for the money. But I think he may have mustered up $20 or $30. You know, gas wasn't cheap back then either. But you know, then somebody came right around the corner, you know, and I think put maybe a couple of $100 in my hand and said, the Lord told me to bless you. In that same service. Now who do you think really got blessed? The one that obeyed God. You know, because you can never beat God giving. But see, the terms they looked so attractive that Gideon, Joshua, he got beside himself. You know what? He was deceived by the people. They said that we are your servants. Meaning that in the distant nation would be completely subject to Israel in exchange for a promise that Israel would not go to war against them. See, the devil don't want you to go to war against him. And so you know what he wants to do? He wants to make a covenant with you. He wants to make a treaty with you. Because he know that if you pray and say, Satan, you got to go in the name of Jesus, he's got to go. And so what he wants to do is get on your good side. He wants to butter you up. You know, folks will be, you know, they'll be your friend. You know why they want to be your friend? Because they want something that you got. And so they got themselves in trouble. See, God had commanded his people to make no treaties with the people of Palestine. But he said nothing about a treaty with the people beyond the borders. See, Satan listens good. And Satan slid in on a loophole. Because Joshua said, well now, you know, they said they was from a far country. But see, they just disguised themselves. How many times has the devil disguised himself? You know, even in this training that I went to this week, you know, folks was talking and they were trying to make all these deals. And then when I told them I was a pastor, all of a sudden they start talking about the Lord. But before then, the Lord name hadn't even came up. I said, yeah, I am a pastor. You know, you're a pastor. Yeah, I'm a pastor. Well, you know, the Lord has been so good, you know, and I just believe it's divine providence. All they know how to talk the talk. Now, don't fool yourself. Now, the devil know how to tell you what you want to hear. You know, but if you got any God in you, you ought to be able to discern that trickery. You know, because there was a young man there, he was talking about, oh, we can get together and. Now, he wants to use our place, but he talking about we going to work on a percentage. Well, you know, I shut down. We ain't going to work on a percentage. You don't even have a license to do this. But he thought he could just slide in. And see, that's what Satan does. You know, he'll paint you a pretty picture. And he'll tell you, you know what? You know, if you just do this. Well, what did he tell Jesus? You know what? You know, if you'll just bow down to me, I'll give you all of this. Satan will try to give you what you already have. And he'll try to make you think that you don't have it. So the Bible says that the men of Israel sampled their provisions but did not inquire of the Lord. They trusted the evidence of their eyes and the words of strangers. See, everything you see is not what you really see. That's what you've got to inquire of the Lord. See, because the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, beholding the evil and the good. Now, they took the word of a stranger and what they seen. You know what? Because, you know, the clothes, they were ragged, they were dirty, or they had already thought it out. See, Satan, you know what? He's been doing this so long. If you don't have God, the Bible says that, you know what? If God didn't shorten the day, they said the very elect would be deceived. And so you're no match for the devil with your own ability. You've got to pray. And every believer should be praying for the spirit of discernment to be able to see that old fox. Got that pretty fluffy tail. Before you know it, you're in trouble. And then when it gets you, then he'll say, well, you know, it ain't my fault that you listen to me. So they trusted their own ability and reasoning. That's how we get in trouble. And because they failed to ask God for direction. Now, what lesson can we learn from that? Now, there are several limits on our capabilities. I don't care how many schools you went to, you still need to inquire of the Lord. Now, we should never make critical life-shaping decisions relying simply on our own wisdom. We, like Joshua, need to inquire first of the Lord. Now, you know, we see throughout the Bible, many men, when they got in trouble, they inquired of the Lord. David, you know what? He was having a bad day. You know what? But I want you to watch the pattern. They had just went and destroyed the enemy. They was coming back, rejoicing. And when they got back to Ziklag, what happened? Their families was taken. Everything was destroyed. See, you know, when you get on that high, you better calm yourself down and say, if the Lord will. Don't get all puffed up like you have arrived. Because when David got there, those same men that fought with him, they turned on him. And you know what? That's human nature. As long as things are going good, I'm your friend. You know what? But when things go bad, no, dog. I can't be running with you. But aren't you glad God's not like that? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so, you know what? They found themselves in trouble with God because they didn't acknowledge him. And you see, when you don't acknowledge God, you will find yourself in trouble. And so now, after the treaty was made, Joshua learned that he and Israel had been tricked, been duped. What's that word you use? Bamboozled. Yes. Uh-huh. So you know, here he is like, what? Because he took matters into his own hands. Now, the Gileadites were actually near neighbors. They didn't come from no far place. But because the leaders had sworn an oath to them by the Lord, the God of Israel, there was nothing they could do. Too many decisions once made can never be taken back. How many made some decisions you wish you could take back? But you know what? You can't. Once you make it, it's out there. And so it would seem to me that the wise person would go to the one who created everything, including us, and inquire of him. David said, you know what? Shall I pursue or shall I leave this matter alone? What did God say? God said pursue. And David said, that's all I need to know. He said, all I need to know is that God is with me. And you know what? God's not going to leave you hanging. But he wants us to acknowledge him. Now, but even this situation was redeemed by God. When other inhabitants of the land heard of the treaty, they determined to attack the Gileadite city. In a surprise attack, Joshua shattered the besieged armies. God had turned Joshua's mistake in making the treaty into an opportunity for victory. How many times have God taken your bad situation, your bad decision, and he turned it around for your good? Amen. Because you know what? You messed up, but God said you belong to me. And God came to your rescue. You know, the reasonableness of serving God, to serve God, to obey him, to love him, to submit heart and life to his control is only a seemly and adequate acknowledgement of claim felt by the just. You know, it ought not be out of your character to serve God. Now, that's if you're born again. Now, God's character, now, his mercy, his grace in the gospel, his promise of pardon, the gift of eternal life through his sacrifice, created an obligation which, if it is disregarded, makes our attitude towards God not only sinful, but unreasonable. It is inconsistent with all in us that is true and noble, and mainly this is the paradox of sin. It makes one's conscious of placing an inferior good above the superior. Now, why would you take something that's inferior like sin over God? It don't make sense now, you know, because when you first got saved, you would even step on an ant. Whatever the word said, you wanted to do it. Now you've been in the 6 months, you feel like you're an authority on what God is saying. I don't believe the Lord is saying that. He didn't ask you what you believed. He said obey. Isn't that what the word said? It says obey. He didn't ask you to debate this thing. He said obey. Look at your neighbor and say, obey. You know, these children today, they want to debate, they want to discuss. See, that's thinking errors. And you're wasting all your time trying to explain things to them. You just tell them, no, that's not how it's going to be. This is how it's going to be. Case closed. And then you're sitting there turning blue in the face and out of breath. No, baby. This is not a discussion. This is how it's going to be. Now, when you get your own address, guess what? You can try to do things your way, but you still got a governing body. Don't pay that light bill. There's 110 out there. See, on TX, you cut it off. What's that company you told me about? Mountain something? Mountain Energy? All of them will cut you off, baby. Because you know what? It doesn't matter how old you are, you still got to follow somebody's rules. Look at your neighbor and say, you going to mind somebody. Y'all didn't say that powerful enough. Look at your other neighbor and tell her, you going to mind somebody. Yeah. When you get that in your mind, you know what? I got a fast car out there, and you know, I like to, you know, But you know what? I learned how to slow it down because, you know, somebody out there going to help me mine. But the way they going to help me mine, they going to take money from me. And you know, I'm not about taking money from me. So you know, you got to make it up in your mind. You're going to mine somebody. You know what? And when you finally come to that conclusion, life is not so bad. When you finally realize that you're going to have to submit yourself. So you know we find ourselves doing all kinds of things. You know, and seem like life is not going the way that we think it is, and it's all because you know what? We don't want to do it God's way. And God said, you know what? I'm not going to make you do anything. He said, but the decisions and the choices that you make will put you in a fix. You know what? When you make bad choices, don't nobody have to tell you. There are consequences. When you make the right choice, there is a reward. I like rewards. And so the state of mind required for the service of God. Now listen to this. The service of God must be born of something more than impulse. It must be the results of choice. It must be the determining purpose of the whole being to enter and to continue in a life of obedience. To everyone, God is saying, choose you this day whom you will serve. So what does he say? Make a decision. Are you going to serve me or are you going to serve the devil? He said, but if you choose to serve me, he said, blessings are in store for you. How many want to be blessed? You know what? God didn't say that it was going to be easy, because Paul said, when I would do good, guess what? My flesh want to do what I should not do. But see, that's why you got to pray. But it starts with the way that you think. See, you can have the victory. Now, the right attitude for those who propose to serve God. Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law. And Joshua understood well the benefits arising from such a formal enactment. He said it would be a test of strength of their purpose, often the way to disclose the feebleness of one's Christian aim is to bring them to the test of an open declaration, to ask, are you willing that others should know that all you should know, that you should commit yourself unqualifyingly to the Lord? So you got to be willing to do that openly. You know, some folks are Secret Service Christians. The only time you know that they got God in their life is on Sunday morning. And you know, a good actor can act for 2 or 3 hours. Yeah, that don't take no real effort. The real test of your strength is that you're doing this every day. And some people try to take the grand picture. You know what? You got to take this one day at a time. 1 hour at a time, 1 minute at a time. I thank you, God, because you kept me today, because I really wanted to tell him something. I really wanted to bless her out. But God, I thank you because you kept me. See, you know what? You say, well, God, are you able to keep me all week? No, baby, don't overwhelm yourself. I was thanking God the other day. I said, Lord, you know what? It was your grace and your mercy, because when folks, you know, drive a little bit too slow for me, I usually just whip on around them. But the Lord had me calm that day. And there was a state trooper. He was just waiting for somebody. But the Lord had me calm. I said, thank you, Lord. And then there was another slow one. I said, Lord, have mercy. And I'm about to close on this. And I was about to go around her. There was a motorcycle cop. I said, thank you, Lord. And then we turned, and then I went around the lady, and she just turned around and looked at me. You know, I just kind of kept my eyes going forward. And I was getting ready, you know, and then I seen the other car there, and I said, thank you, Lord. I said, Lord, you don't save me 3 times. I said, I think you're trying to tell me something. You need to slow down. And you know what? Maybe God's trying to tell some of us that. You know what? We're trying to rush the will of God for our lives. When God has already told us, he says that, you know what? I got a pattern of victory for you. It may not come when you think it ought to come, but he said, they that wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. All right. Any questions or comments on tonight? Amen.
Sister